Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Luke in chapter 5, I'm going to preach to you for a bit. Then we're going to pray for those who are in need of miracles. God's going to heal and touch people. And then we are going to honor our new ministers and our new pastor on staff. Luke chapter 5. And then after that, we're breaking the fast with sugary treats. Cake and coffee, apparently. Luke chapter 5. No notes for you today, but I hope that you might take them, and especially the Lord would write them on our heart. Luke 5, chapter 5, and verse 12. If you're all there, give a big, loud hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Here we go. And it happened when he was in a certain city, they behold a man who was full of leprosy. What was he full of? Leprosy. Saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he put out his hand and he touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded, verse 15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now it happened on a certain day, verse 17, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Say that with me. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought a man, a bed who was paralyzed, who they sought to bring to lay before Jesus. And when they could not find how they could bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and they let him down with his bed through the ceiling, through the tile, into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, would you say that? When he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise up upon your bed and go to your house. Take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they all glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector, Levi, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with him. Verse 30. Their scribes and Pharisees complained that his disciples are saying, why do you eat with tax collectors and sinners? Verse 31, Jesus answered and said to him, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Verse 32, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Father, thank you for what you've done all day long. Now, Lord, after these baptisms and a wonderful time of worship and the time of giving, now your word. Let your word go forth with power Signs and wonders follow as you stand over it to see it performed does not return void. Anoint these lips of clay yet again and give us all ears to hear and a heart to respond what the Spirit would say to this bride, to the church. Thank you for unprecedented victory today. Thank you. Jesus, the healer, is here. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to someone and say, Jesus, the healer's here. You may be seated. I'm fascinated by things that fly. And there are laws, the laws of aerodynamics. There's four laws of flight. How many of you are pilots? We have quite a few pilots. How many of you enjoy flying? I fly a lot, more than I care to. It's always amazing to me to see that these massive pieces of aluminum or steel, well, I don't think they're steel, they're aluminum, fly. They fly. I mean, it's amazing. Four laws of flight. I pulled this off of the internet, so before you think I'm like some wisdom about flight, I'm not. But there's four laws. Lift, upward force, opposes the weight of the object generated by an airfoil shape of the wings. There's a dynamic. There's laws of flight. So there's lift, there's weight. The downward force due to gravity pulling the object toward the earth, lift must be greater than or equal to the weight for flight to occur. The lift has to be greater than the weight. Thirdly, thrust. The forward thrust that propels the object through the air, typically generated by engines or propellers or a jet. The thrust must overcome drag for sustained motion. And number four is drag. The resistance or force caused by air friction opposing the force of an object. So those who are aeronautical engineers design things for drag and efficiency. And flight is amazing. Without these four laws at work, if they're violated, things don't fly, Wilbur. Things won't fly if they violate the laws of flight. Did you know that there's laws of healing? And you see them here in this text. It's rather profound. Just as there's laws of flight, law of gravity, there's essentials for releasing and receiving the healing power of the kingdom of God. Listen closely. There is things that you need to understand to see the releasing of the healing power of the kingdom of God. And there's keys for releasing healing power of the kingdom of God. And this text, these three examples, three healings, say there's only two. No, there's three. The third guy especially is a miracle. First one, leper. Luke, the Lord is a great physician, but Luke is considered a physician. And you'll see when it comes to things like she had a high fever, he emphasizes certain things when he's defining and telling the story as the Spirit gives him unction and writes it down. He was full of leprosy. It doesn't just say he's a leper like you would read at other places. He was full of leprosy. And that means he was leprous all over, and maybe he's missing part of his body. Maybe he's missing body parts. It's the first healing. Then there's this paralytic, this guy who's stuck on a bed. Heals him. And the third healing, to me, is the greatest one. It's salvation. It's the taking away of someone's sin because of what Jesus has done. So some essentials, and if you want to write things down, the first one, faith has got to be expressed. Every time you see healing, you'll see faith expressed. Sometimes it's with the person who's receiving. Other times it's with the person who's releasing healing. But there's always faith expressed. Faith is expressed by the paralytic with his four crazy friends. You need four crazy friends like that. We all need people who are full of passion and zeal and faith. Personal faith has got to be expressed. Personal faith in God's power to heal. Look at verse 12. Lord, if you're willing. I love that. So he believes that it's possible, but he doesn't know the Lord's willing. And I would say that many people believe that God can do it, but they don't know that he wants to. So they know that God's able to. He made the earth, he made the sea, he made the land, he made you, he made me. He can heal you, he can set you free. Everybody believes that. Many people believe that, but most people don't know that he's willing. And you might have missed it, but he reached out and he touched the leper. That is so profound. It's profound because you don't touch lepers. That's not what you do. The leper, we don't know how long he'd had leprosy, but he was full of leprosy, full of leprosy. And once diagnosed with the Hansen's disease, we call it leprosy. Once diagnosed with that, you would be ostracized from your family. You'd be driven away from your family. You'd go alone to a leper colony or a place where you'd be isolated, and the only other people that would be with you would be lepers. And so he'd go alone, and that would be the last time that he would kiss your mom, kiss your dad, hug your brother, hug your sister. It'd be the last time any healthy person would be able to touch you. You would never get touched again. And there were basically laws to keep leprosy from spreading. You could not be in a crowd. You couldn't be in a crowd. You had to shout. I mean, if you just go look at Edersham's laws and customs, the great book, Life and Times of Jesus, Edersham, powerful book. See, they would come and they would walk. When they have to walk towards anybody, they'd scream at them while they're distance. Unclean! Unclean! They had to say unclean. And so here is this leper who comes before Jesus, and Jesus reaches out and he touches him. He takes him by the hand and it says, I am willing. You have to know that when he did that, everybody's like, oh, snap. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. Because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he reaches out. It's amazing. Personal faith. You know, it's so important to have God speak to you. God wants to speak to you, speaking to you tonight. God wants to speak to you in that quiet time that you never have. You know that one? He's been calling you to away with the word. He's been calling you to get away with him and read the word. And he speaks through his word. Oh, he speaks through prophets. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through godly counsel. He speaks through creation. God is a speaking God. His sheep know and hear his voice. It is a normal, natural thing to hear the voice of God. It is abnormal and unusual, in fact, biblically wrong to not hear his voice. So many people are like, how do I know what his voice sounds like? Do you know when you were there and you heard the message of salvation and you'd just be like, I've got to give my heart to Jesus. You just felt that's his voice. That's his voice right there. This leper somehow had faith, had personal faith that Jesus could heal him. God spoke to him somehow. I don't even know that he'd ever met Jesus, but perhaps through the testimony of others, he heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, we're a church that believes in the supernatural, unashamedly believes in the supernatural. Miracles are going to be released here tonight for you. There'll be some that won't catch it, but that's not God's fault. You've got to lean in. You know, you can scroll the whole service and not hear anything I say. Come on, online, wherever you are, whatever's going on in your life, just put your phone up for God's sake. It's like when you have Thanksgiving with your family and everybody's staring at their phone. What kind of Thanksgiving is that? I remember going out and looking at this too. They were seemingly having a date. They were having a date and they're sitting there. You'll remember this, Minister Daniel. They're sitting there. These two kids, they're probably in their 20s. They did not look up from their phone. They're like having a date. Boy, girl, and they literally stared at the phone almost the entire time.
If you could just listen for the moments that remain in the service, I'm not going to preach long to you unless, of course, I do. But if you could just listen this evening, God will release faith to you. God is able to do miracles. He's not only able, he wants to. Come on, say he wants to heal. Yeah, he does. Well, how come everybody doesn't get healed? Because you're scrolling right now. Sometimes it's a timing issue. Other times it's a lack of hunger. I think I worked on 3 sermons to preach this morning. I ended up on 1. I did a whole study on parables and just got into parables. Just amazing. It is amazing that God would speak in parables to hide truth. He's not obligated to show you anything, but he responds to hunger. He responds to faith. Precious lady, and she might be here in the service. She gave her heart to the Lord or recommitted her life to the Lord. Pastor Tammy, you're here somewhere. She was with me in the back, and she was struggling with a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. Well, we've had people healed of multiple sclerosis. We've had people healed. They have some way of telling lesions on their brain and spine. You can see these lesions. I don't know how that works, but they can see these lesions, and many times they grow, and people lose mobility, and soon they're not able to walk, and they end up crippled, multiple sclerosis. Well, when she told me, I was ministering to somebody. I looked up. I saw her with the walker, and I said, why do you have a walker? She said, I have multiple sclerosis. I said, no. I mean, that's what came out of my mouth. No. We've seen people healed of multiple sclerosis. So I just moved in a dimension of faith. She had faith. We all had faith. We prayed, and it was like a hot oil got to be poured over her, and something supernatural happened. Now, we haven't seen the fullness of that testimony, but God touched her. We believe in miracles. We believe in miracles. We contend for them. We pray for them, and we see them. That which took place in Scripture should take place in the church and in your home, in your kitchen, in the living room, in a life group, a small group. We opened up all of our 143 life groups. Miracles happen in life groups. Miracles happen when we get together. Miracles happen when the presence of the Lord is there. He's able to do it. But it's interesting also that this man full of leprosy had to take a risk. See, he had to get close enough to talk to Jesus, which totally violated the law. There are some laws that need to be violated. In fact, I have some speeding tickets as a result. And before you think that I just like to speed, which is also true, that's not what the one I'm talking about. My daughter was pregnant, and she was in the late stages of giving birth. They sent us home and, like, just wait. And so I went to sleep. And she continued to labor. I think it was 18 hours of labor. So she continued to labor at this, basically, Airbnb they were at in Honolulu. I went to sleep, glory to God. Well, somewhere at, like, I don't know, 3 in the morning, the door opens up, and it's my son-in-law, Derek. He's just like, looks really intense and says, it's time. And I'm instantly awake, it's time. Right? We all pop up. The doula was there. I see the doula, her eyes are like this big. She's like, oh yeah. I'm like, okay, let's go. So we're getting everything together, and then amidst these cries of, oh, they were intense. Ooh, that was intense. Ooh, delivering babies is intense. And all the mama said, and all the fathers whose witnesses said, well, we go to get in the car, and I was the driver. I'm the driver, I go to get in the car. And she gets in the back seat. They had this specially arranged thing in the back seat. Derek gets in the front seat with me. And this very calm Christian doula leans forward in the front of the car and says, get to that hospital as fast as you can, safely. I said, you got it. Hallelujah. I just did a neutral drop and took off. No, I'm kidding. I did blow every red light except one. And the only reason I didn't blow that was I saw a cop and I knew he would pull me over and then I knew I would have a problem. But I did not know that they had cameras in Honolulu that took pictures of all of my speeding and I got tickets. But you know something? It's better than having my granddaughter born in the back of a Dodge Caravan. There is a higher law at work. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. I felt like it was a command from the Lord God Almighty. As fast as you came, I'm like, yes. I took a risk. The leper took a risk, far greater risk. His life would have been forfeited had he been caught, except he got healed. It's a risk sometimes to come to church to confess that you need healing. You need, I'm all for faith and a faith declaration, but if you're either healed or you're still sick or you're in the process of being healed, there's something about coming. I've come up front for healing, shoot, 20 times? Gonna go again? Yes. Why? Because his word is true. His word is sure. You're not finished yet. Creator, healer, wonder-working miracle God, you can do anything. Let that settle in your heart. But then if you were to take a risk, what would that be? Maybe that is having a quiet time and getting in the word. Maybe that is coming to the front of an altar. Maybe that is confessing your sins one to another, praying for one another that you may be healed, being set free, being delivered, positioning yourself to be vulnerable with somebody else. You say, Pastor, I'm addicted to pornography. Well, why don't you just get some help? Get some freedom. Get rid of your blasted phone. You did life without it before. Get a flip phone. And that doesn't mean that people have flip phones all have pornography problems. But this leper took a risk. He risked it all, in fact. The second one is this, so that's a principle. It's personal faith. Everybody say personal faith. Personal faith. Faith has got to be expressed. Personal faith. Personal faith in God's willing to heal. But this next one, faith in those around you. I love this passage. It's told a number of different times, but there's this guy who he's paralyzed and he's on a mat. He's on a bed and he has four crazy friends. Actually, it depends on how you look at it. It could have been much more than four, but I think it's in the book of Mark, it talks about four. And his four friends took him. And they're like, dude, you're going to see Jesus. He's like, what do you mean? Oh yeah, you're coming right now. And they take four people and they grab him. And I don't know if he was willing. I mean, I don't know. And they go to bring him to Jesus, and there's no room. That's when you know there's revival. You know there's revival when there's no room. That's going to happen here. There's going to be so many people that come to get impacted by the power of God to bring their sons and daughters to salvation and healing and deliverance. There's going to be so many people that's why we built this thing the size that it is, and it's already too small. These four, I'm going to call them four crazy friends, bring him, and they come to church. It's a home group. It's a life group. They come to the small group with their friend on a mattress. But there's so many people in the life group that they can't actually get in. And I don't know. I think I'd like to be one of these four crazy ones. They were like, I know what to do. Let's just climb up and rip a hole in the roof. If there was a, can you imagine all of a sudden a piece of the roof lifts off and somebody's like lowering them in because you can't get in the parking lot, you can't get in the lobby, people are pressed to look in the windows hoping to get into this place. It's like that. It's so packed and Jesus is there. And the only way to bring this friend of theirs. We all need friends like that. And I will tell you, there's a principle of connecting with people who have faith, people who have passion, people who have fire, connecting with people that are not lukewarm, lackadaisical, half-hearted, religious, tore up from the floor up, got no zeal, no passion. That I don't hang out with that. I preach to that occasionally, but I hope to preach to you in such a way that you would then be set on fire and you too would become like one of these four crazy ones. My closest friends are on fire. Hello. They're on fire. They're doing something for God. Those are my very close friends. Or the ones that are, who are your close friends? Let me say this to you, especially the young people in the room. Everyone look at me, all of you young people. Everyone's young according to, if you measure according to Methuselah. All the young people looking at me. Who you hang out with, you will become like. Show me your friends, I will show you your future. Say that. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Who you spend time with, who you connect with is what you will become like. And parents, those who your children bond with are actually discipling. They're discipling your children. So you be very careful who they bond with. And Minister Daniel could come and tell you that I picked all of his friends up until the time where he can then select them for himself, which of course he does now at 22 years of age. He just started that just a couple weeks ago. No, I'm teasing. He's had discernment a long time. A long time. But it takes a while for a child to understand how to pick your friends. Not everybody should be close. Jesus didn't even have everybody close. This guy on a mat, we don't even know his name, but he got healed. He got set free. Why? Because he was connected with people of faith. He was connected with people that had fire. He was connected with people that believed that God could raise him up and set him free. I am connected with people like you. Connected with people that'll go the distance. Connected with people that don't know how to quit. Connected to people that know how to rightly divide the word. Connected with people that are living holy and pure and righteous. And of course, there's different levels of that. We're all growing in God. Raise your hand if you're growing. Yeah, don't ever stop growing. Keep growing in the knowledge of God. Keep growing in goodness. Keep growing in Christ-likeness. And surround yourself with people like that. I mean on the inside. We all walk in this world, but we should not be of it. This guy that got healed because he had four crazy faith-filled zealots that thought, man, if I could just bring my buddy before Jesus, it's all over. Maybe he didn't even have faith. Thank God for people like that. I've had people get up in my face and tell me stuff that I didn't particularly care for, but they were right. Like Pastor Karen, she does that occasionally. The faith of those around you, the importance of a personal connection, connected to people of faith. I spoke to Tiff Shuttlesworth today. Tiff Shuttlesworth almost died. Numerous things happened for him, but he's on the way out. And God has done a miracle even by the declaration of the hospitals and the doctors. They say people that go through what you went through, they don't live. But he's alive, and he's getting better and better and stronger and stronger. You know why I believe that is? Yes, his own personal faith, absolutely. But he's also surrounded by people like us, like this church and hundreds of other churches that prayed for him and believed God. Where you go to church is a life or death decision. I'm not feeling it. I'm going to say it again. Where you go to church is a life or death decision. You need to go where there's life. You need to go where you feel conviction. You need to go where you're trained and nurtured in the admonition of the Lord. You need to go where there's miracles, where there's signs, where there's wonders. He said, but it's just so strange sometimes. People are so strange. I saw some strange things. Yeah, people, you're weird. People are unusual. It's a safe place. If anything that was to happen that's unbiblical, we will stop it. I'd rather have a church like this than have a dead one. You know what a dead one is? No one gets saved. No one's coming in. No one gets delivered. Afraid of offending people's feelings. Afraid of hurting them and their sensitivities. And have a little stinking cry room on the side for God's sake. The whole place is a cry room. Just smile at me. Shuttlesworth came and he said, dude, what is with all the tissue boxes all over the church? I've never seen more boxes of tissue in any church ever. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I looked and literally, I don't know, we probably should have bought stock in Kleenex. We had like so many boxes of tissue. He says, is this place like sad? I'm like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, you'll notice that we have a lot less now.
Hallelujah. Another thing from these four crazy guys is their perseverance. They couldn't get in. Oh, but they weren't denied. Oh, well, can't get in. Other guy's like, oh, yeah, we can. He's from the hood. He's going to break in. They crawl up and they let him down. There's a perseverance there. When you know what God's will is, don't cow down to denial. He said, well, the Lord's denying me. No, he is not. But the enemy certainly likes to discourage, likes to hold us back. Worship team's moving to the stage, which means that I'm probably done, I guess. Lift your hands to heaven. It was like the march of the tin soldiers off to the back. There they go. And somebody's like, thank God he's almost done. Thank you, Jesus. What's going on? Where are those people going? That's the worship team. That means he's almost done. Ha! Kiss again! Ha ha! Ha ha! No, not done! Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. I'm telling you, just as there's a principle in the law of gravity, the law of flight, there are biblical principles to release healing. Faith is a key, personal faith, but the faith of others being connected. I started saying that there's, you know, the church, where you go to church will mean whether you hear a word from God that convicts you and brings life and strength and hope. And listen, the presence of God is here. The presence of God is here. This is what we would call a measure of anointing. Now, I'm not saying it's the most anointed service. No, I don't think any of us should do that. You just let your heart open. Every service, God moves here. You do not have to be in bondage anymore. You do not have to have that social anxiety anymore. You can be set free from every sickness, every bondage, every curse. You can be delivered. Wouldn't it be amazing if we had people that are more like these four crazy people, so full of passion, they could be like, ooh, what are you doing tonight? Going to church. What you doing? Let's go. Let's go. I felt like that coming up all those years. Gosh, the worship team must be scared now. Should we pray for them? Father, we pray. God, you'd help them. I grew up going to church. I grew up going to church. When I say grew up, I came to church in my late 20s, and I certainly was not grown up when I got here. I grew up going to church and a longing, just could not wait for service. It was like the most exciting thing. And our life group was the most exciting. I mean, every time to get together, it was like the biggest party in town. It wasn't some dead Pharisaical religion where people are playing politics to get dressed up, to look good in front of somebody. No, it was real, and it is real. It's real for me. And I believe it's real for you. It's so important to connect with people who have faith, to connect with people who believe for miracles and for healing and for the kingdom of God to be put on display. It is an unbiblical thing to not see the kingdom of God put on display in church, outside of church. It is what we're called to do. And these signs will follow them that believe. Raise your hand if you're a believer. These signs follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they might recover. No, they shall recover. They will recover. They'll speak with new tongues. Nothing by any means will harm them. Another aspect here is we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You say, well, where do you get that? Well, look at verse 16. You'd go right over it if you weren't paying attention. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Sort of random. It's right in the middle of all of these miracles. Why does Luke put that? The Holy Spirit had him put that there because it's key.
If you're going to see, if you're going to release the power of the kingdom, if you're going to flow in a greater anointing, if you're going to receive the power of the kingdom of God and healing and miracles in your own personal life, you must give yourself to prayer. Now, Jesus, fully God, fully man, gives himself to prayer. Why is that? Because he understood his dependence upon the Father, for he didn't do anything the Father wasn't doing. He had a relationship, yet fully God and fully man. I mean, he had the Spirit without limit, the Bible says, and yet he went to early morning prayer. How is it that fully God goes to early morning prayer? It shows us that we really need to be sensitive to the Spirit and have a vital prayer life. If you don't have a vital prayer life, you're not going to have any move of God. You can't do it in your own ability. Neither can I. We need God. Lift your hands one more time. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Go on, son. Need the power of the Holy Spirit. Of a vital prayer life. Another thing I see is in verse 17b, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Power of the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit manifest in your life. Wait on him. Look for him to move. When I'm preaching to large groups of people like tonight, I look out and I can see the Spirit of God moving. So what does that look like? Well, every service is not the same, but I expect him to. I have faith that he's going to. And you know what he does? He moves every single time. Why? It's because there's a people here that are committed to pray. And I think it's because I'm committed to pray too. But I want to go to another level. I want another level in God. A vital prayer life is key to seeing miracles. The power of the Holy Spirit is the active agent, the third part of the Trinity that released resurrection power. The same power, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is available for you right now, right here. Miracles are starting to occur right now. Faith is starting to rise. Because what God did at other times, at other places, what God did here, the presence of the Lord was there to heal. He's here. And he's beginning to heal people. Oh, the scroller, the ongoing addicted texter might miss it, but you won't. You won't. If you're hungry and you're thirsty. Jesus, the healer, is here. He's here. We welcome you, oh God, to pour out over us in this special night of miracles at the end of our fast, a special night where we honor those who've been elevated and honored in our midst. We thank you. Let me say this, and then we're going to pray for those that are in need of healing and miracles. And we'll move on to the honor and then the sugar delights. Keep in mind the purpose of miracles. What is the purpose of miracles? Well, God loves you, so he wants to help you, wants to heal you. But notice signs and wonders and miracles, what are they for? Well, the same thing as you see the exit signs on the front right and left of the sanctuary, they're to identify a door. Even in the healing of that man on the mat, they say, what blasphemy? Your sins are forgiven, he says. They say, well, what blasphemy? He says, well, so you know I have authority. Be healed, which is harder. He's proving that he has authority by releasing healing, but he forgives him of his sin. It's a miracle. You have this precious report somewhere amongst all of my special goodies. Here we go. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Looks like my garage right there. You'll notice that Jesus, thank you, Pastor Kirsten, but I can get it if it's, unless you want to. You'll notice that Jesus tells the guy that got healed to go and show yourself to the priest. Being healed is beautiful. Go get a doctor's report that it actually happened. Go get confirmed. It's important. We've had people say, I'm healed, and they quit their medication, and guess what? Either the sickness came back, or they weren't healed, or they had a measure of healing but should have been on the medication. We believe in doctors. Thank God for doctors. Can somebody say amen? But you still need to be prayerful. This is a report of this precious lady, and let me just cover her name there. She doesn't care, but I just want to be sensitive to. This is the day. Close on in. Here's just, you have another opportunity, Mr. Camera guy. Come close. Right here. Okay. Right here is when she first came to church. Boom. These markers are continued drop in her stage 4 cancer, and she's 100% healed. That marker, I'm told, is when she first came here. And these markers are what happened afterwards. Come on, God's able to do it. He's not only able, he wants to. He wants to. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Thank you. Thank you for your healing power. Release your healing power right now. As a sign and a wonder. You know, the last one is this Levi, the tribe of Levi. He's a tax collector. He works for the IRS. Think about it that way. He's a tax collector. Now, tax collectors in Jesus' day were considered wicked people, like it'd be no possibility for them to go to heaven. Who closely worked with Rome. Many times they were corrupt, and that's what he was. And Jesus comes, and it really is the greatest miracle. It's really a picture of how he heals the man full of leprosy, how he heals the paralytic, and he saves the man. It's a picture of signs and wonders and healing. What it all points to, the greatest miracle is that you could have your sins forgiven. That's the greatest miracle. That is. It's all about souls. Jesus reached out to sinners. In fact, he said it didn't come for the well. It came for the sick. And all of us have a sickness, have a disease that cannot be cured by modern medicine. There's a sickness, there's a disease that cannot be cured by any human hand. There's a sickness, there's a disease that will kill you and take you straight to hell, and it's called sin. But Jesus came to set us free and forgive us and wash us and cleanse us from all sin. To as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. You're not his child until you receive him. That is the greatest miracle. So in conclusion, we can be healed. We can be healed. He can do it, but not only can, he's willing. I said he's willing. Many times you said, how come more hospitals aren't cleaned out? Because more people don't have a boldness like the four crazy guys to do what's needed to lay hands on the sick. We know an EMT who prayed for 65 dead people. They're dead, 65. Five came back to life. Wow. All between the ranges of three minutes, 20 minutes, and the longest was 90 minutes. Well, what happened to the other? They died. But the people that came back to life would probably be pretty happy about that. Unless they were in heaven, they got pulled out of heaven, then they're generally really mad. No, really. There's people being raised from the dead in Africa and different places. They get up and they want to beat everybody in the room. You dragged me back to this cesspool. It's true. God can. He's willing. Where's your faith at? Get a personal word. Let God speak to you. Grow your faith. Be connected with people that have faith, have a like faith. Be connected with people that are on fire. Connect with people that know more about God, more about his word than you do, and are willing to confront you and love you and care for you and help you. Get in a life group. Get connected with people of faith. Get connected with people of faith. Send your kid to the school. Why would you do that? So they don't get their gender ideology rammed down their throat. Well, it seems to be getting destroyed from the highest office, thank God. But we're redefining education because it's unacceptable that our children, our grandchildren would be discipled by people. And I know there's a lot of great Christians in the public school. I'm not saying there isn't. Thank God they're there. But there are others who absolutely want to destroy your children because they can't have children of their own and for whatever other ungodly, demonic reason. Connect with people. Be committed to church. Don't just come because somebody got baptized tonight. I'm glad you did. Come and get on fire and become a vital force for God, God's kingdom. Be raised up. Go through the discover track. Get connected, learn, grow, develop relationships. I don't like people, Pastor. I understand, but there are some good ones that you're throwing out with the bathwater as well. And you know, you're not so nice yourself, so smile at me. I'm not looking at anybody specifically. I'm just looking into the camera. Come on, God's able to help you. He's going to release healing every time we gather. We want to pray for those who are in need of a miracle tonight. Oh, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, give yourself to prayer. Again, in review, give yourself to prayer. Pray, spend time with him. He can heal you right in your prayer closet. He can heal you right there. Some of the greatest touches of heaven I've ever had. Been in my car, been in the woods or at the beach or at home, not in a church. Oh, and I've met many in a church too.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.